And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today is going to be a very important program. And if this program makes you, well, not like America as much as maybe you thought you did, I can understand that. You know, we grow up as young children, or we used to, in the United States, believing that America was exceptional, that it was the very best the world had to offer, and in fact that it was a land flowing with honey, and from shining sea to shining sea, it was a democracy, an oasis from all the world's horrors and problems. And to some extent, that was correct. It was. And I remember when I was a young man, and when I went to school every day and we put our hands over our hearts and said the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, it just felt good. And you sometime even made you want to cry thinking about what your country had done for you, what so many Americans had done for their country. And when John F. Kennedy, whatever we think of his politics, when he said in his inauguration address, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country," that filled all of us with a bit of pride, didn't it? We wanted to do more for our country. That was the way the American heart was. That was the way America was. But now things are changed. I can't say that I want to live anywhere else, any other nation, because I've visited many nations around the world, but I haven't lived in very many. Oh, I lived for a couple years in Italy, and a couple years in Germany, and a couple years in Thailand, but you know, visiting and living even for a couple years isn't the same as immersing yourself totally in a nation, its culture, its economy, its people. If I love America now, it's not because it's the most beautiful country in the world. It is lovely, but there are other countries. New Zealand, for example, that are beautiful. Great Britain and Scotland, Ireland, they all have their beauty, don't they? And who can deny Switzerland or Austria? Many countries in the world are beautiful in terms of their territory, their geography. They say there are areas in Africa, the great waterfalls, and they're just gorgeous. The same thing goes for down in South America. But are we really a nation anymore? That's the question I have for you. Are we really a country anymore? You know, I received a letter, an article really, from Paul Craig Roberts. Who is Paul Craig Roberts? He was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy in the Reagan administration. He was an associate editor of the Wall Street Journal. He's been a columnist for Business Week and a number of syndicates. He's lectured at many universities, and now, well, he periodically writes an article, and they're published on the alternative media, in the internet, of course. He says things that are just not allowed to be said. Because, friends, don't think for a moment that we have a free media that allows you to say things. You've been following my ministry for a while, and as you know, there are many things that I say that I'm not allowed to say in the newspapers and the magazines of the United States of America. They're just things that you can't say. This is not a free country. There's no free speech in America. But this letter really struck me, and I want to read it to you. I'm not going to read it all. It's really an article. It's entitled, Washington is Humanity's Worst Enemy. Now, he didn't say America. He said, Paul Craig Roberts stated, Washington is humanity's worst enemy. Now, perhaps right away you identified with that. Because what do you think about Washington? You think about the Obama administration, Obamacare, our corrupt politicians in the Congress, a Supreme Court full of dolts and dumbed-down liberals and a few conservatives. You think of the IRS and the inoperative Justice Department under Mr. Holder. That's Washington, D.C. But I consider the correct term here is America is humanity's worst enemy, because Washington represents all of us. There's no America, in a sense, without Washington. Now, many of us would like to have an America without Washington, but the minute you begin to think of it that way, then the law enforcement begins to intrude on you, and the spy agencies, and yes, the IRS, and all those groups, and they jolt you back into reality. We're not going to allow you, Mr. Citizen, to settle in Washington State or Ohio or Texas or Kansas or Nevada or Louisiana or any other state. We're not going to leave you alone. We're going to bother you and bother you and bother you. We're going to take money from you, freedoms, and we're going to prove to you that we are humanity's worst enemy. In other words, Washington has spread out, in my lifetime certainly, through all 50 states. You can't get them off your backs, can you, friends? I read in the Drudge Report today, they said that for the first time in 30 years, the number of entrepreneurial firms in America is declining. We've been a nation that was a panacea, a miracle business making place. I mean, you could start up a business on a hat, you know, it would be awful cheap, but now people are closing down businesses left and right. The regulation, the red tape, the taxing authorities, so thick with fog that you really can't run a business anymore. And then if you got a business going, then in comes Obamacare and says, you're going to have to pay for the health care of your employees. Well, okay, you don't mind doing that until they start jacking up the price. It's 200, 300% what it was a year ago. You can't operate like that. So Washington is America's worst enemy, and America is humanity's worst enemy. Now, let's see if Paul Craig Roberts said the same thing. He starts off by asking, how does Washington get away with the claim that the country it rules, notice he distinguishes between the two. There's Washington, then there's the country that it rules. How does Washington get away with the claim that the country it rules is a democracy and has freedom? This absurd claim ranks as one of the most unsubstantiated claims in history. There is no democracy whatsoever. Voting is a mask for rule by a few powerful interest groups.
Wow.
Powerful corporate and financial interests use their money power to elect a government that serves their interest at the expense of the general welfare. The control that private interests exercise over the government is so complete that private interests have immunity to prosecution for crimes. At his retirement party on March 27th, Securities and Exchange Commission prosecutor James Kidney stated that his prosecutions of Goldman Sachs and other banks too big to fail were blocked by superiors who were focused on getting high-paying jobs after their government service. The SEC's top brass, Kidney said, did not believe in afflicting the comfortable and powerful. In his report, Eric Swiss points out that the Obama regime releases false statistics in order to claim prosecutions that did not take place, in order to convince a gullible public that Wall Street crooks were being punished when they were not. Mr. Roberts continues, democracy and freedom, he says, require an independent and aggressive media, an independent and aggressive judiciary, and an independent and aggressive Congress. The United States, he writes, has none of these things. The U.S. media constantly lies for the government. Reuters continues to report falsely that Russia invaded and annexed Crimea in Ukraine. The Washington Post ran an obviously false story planted on the paper by the Obama administration that the massive protest in former Russian territories of Ukraine are, quote, rent-a-mobs instigated by the Russian government. Not even Washington stooges in Kiev believe that, he writes. What is happening is very dangerous. Washington misjudged its ability to grab the Ukraine. The Russian government knows that Washington does not believe what Washington is saying and that Washington is systematically provoking a continuation and worsening of the problem. The Russian government wonders what agenda Washington is pursuing. All this is clear, he says, even to a fool.
Well,
it is a paradox, he writes, that Putin is portrayed as the heavy, while Washington pretends to be the champion of freedom and democracy. In the 21st century, Washington has established as its hallmarks every manifestation of tyranny, illegal and unconstitutional execution of citizens without due process of law, illegal and unconstitutional indefinite detention of citizens without due process of law, illegal and unconstitutional torture, illegal and unconstitutional rendition, illegal and unconstitutional surveillance, and illegal and unconstitutional wars. The executive branch has established that it is unaccountable to law or to the Constitution. All unaccountable government, he writes, is a tyranny. Tired of being spied upon, listen to this, folks, what Roberts writes here. Tired of being spied upon and lied to, the Senate Intelligence Committee has produced a thorough investigation of the CIA's torture programs. The investigation took 4 years to complete. The committee found unequivocally that the CIA lied about the extent of the torture and kidnappings, that detainees did not undergo some mild form of, quote-unquote, enhanced interrogation, end quote, but were subjected constantly to brutal and inhumane torture, that the CIA, contrary to its claims, did not get even one piece of useful information after its grave crimes against humanity. The American prostitutes, writes Roberts, assisted the CIA in accurately portraying the effectiveness and mildness of the CIA's Gestapo practices. To clinch it, during the entirety of the investigation, 4 full years, the CIA illegally spied on the Senate staff conducting the investigation. But now that this report is finished, will we, the public, ever see the report? No. Only the parts that have been leaked. The rest of it is redacted. The U.S. government is the most corrupt government on earth. There is no independent judiciary or media, and Congress has acquiesced to executive branch encroachments on its powers. Consider the judiciary, he writes. Michael Ratner of the Center for Constitutional Rights represented the father of the American citizen who Obama said would be murdered by the U.S. government on suspicion that he was associated with terrorism. When Ratner asked the federal courts to block an illegal and unconstitutional execution of an American citizen without due process, the federal judge who heard the case ruled that the father of a son about to be murdered did not have standing to bring a case in behalf of his son. Did you hear accurately what I just read to you, dear folks? Michael Ratner discovered that his son was about to be murdered by the U.S. government. Not placed on trial, not given a jury of his peers, not pronounced by a jury, not carried out in a prison of the United States, but simply murdered because they suspected his involvement in terrorism. His father objected to him being murdered, and the federal court ruled that his father did not have the standing. His son was about to be murdered, but you don't have the standing. It doesn't affect you enough, said the judge. Mr. Roberts continues, after several lives were snuffed out by President Obama, Ratner then represented relatives of Obama's murdered victims in a damage suit. Under U.S. law, it was clear as day that damages were due, but the federal judge ruled against him. Whether or not anyone has standing is entirely up to the government. The IRS takes another strange position. It says that children must pay the taxes owed by their parents. Folks, you understand this? If your parents made an error or a mistake on their tax report, and they refuse to, or they cannot pay it, the IRS now says they can go down to the children. If you're an adult child, or I guess that's what it is, an adult whose father and mother have been told by the IRS they owe money, if your dad and mom don't pay it, they can come to see you and get the money from you. They can confiscate the money. Always the courts rule in favor of something, some entity, strange, amorphous, weird, some entity called national security. Yes, they murdered your son, they murdered your father, but it was for national security. Well, ask them to define national security. They have no definition. And you don't have standing to complain. You know, Back in 2004, the people of Michigan, a very liberal state, I might add, the idiots there, and I'm sorry to call you an idiot, but if you're listening to this program, you're not one of the idiots in Michigan. So I don't care. I will call the people of Michigan idiots for voting in liberal Democrats every time, it seems like. But they did something good. They voted, the citizens of Michigan did something really good. They voted to pass a law that defined marriage as an institution between one man and one woman. That's what marriage has always been throughout the entire world, and especially in the United States, between one man and a woman. That there's nothing else in marriage. If two men want to shack up together, or two women shack up together, then don't call it marriage. Call it something else. Just go do it. You're in sin anyway. You're violating what God has told you to do. You don't care for God's opinion, so go and do it. But don't call it a marriage. Now the Michigan people use their common sense. Seeing that the other states were all going nuts and wacko, that America's going crazy, and the homosexuals are taking 2x4s and banging everybody against the head to get their way, the Michigan residents in 2004, that's a decade ago, said, we're not going to have that here. We're simply going to pass a law that defines marriage as between a man and a woman, like it's always been. It wasn't a new law. They didn't think they needed a law. They thought people were sensible enough to understand the facts of life. There's a man and there's a woman, and that's never the two will be the same. But suddenly, a Jewish man in a black robe in a federal court, a man named Bernard Friedman, overturned the will of hundreds of thousands of Michigan citizens. Mr. Friedman said, I don't care what you think or what you believe or what your religion says or what your culture and customs have said for hundreds, thousands of years. I'm going to overturn this law that you just passed, and I'm going to say, and it will be in effect immediately, that a queer can marry a queer. Gays can marry gays. Whatever happened, Mr. Friedman, to the rule by the majority? The majority here was overthrown by this filthy judge, Bernard Friedman. Now, I want it known, because if I don't make it known, then I'll probably be arrested in a nation that has no compunction against it. So let me make it plain. Do not go harass or do anything to harm or to damage or even to frighten one little hair of Judge Friedman's head. Or the authorities will say, text tomorrow said, go do something to that judge. I'm saying do not do anything to that judge. Don't even write the guy a letter. Don't go by his house and honk. Don't do anything to the guy. I would say instead, don't have anything, don't associate with the guy. Don't even shake his hand. Don't smile at him. Just avoid him. Let him go his way. Let him do his dirty, filthy, rotten things that he does. Whatever they are. I don't even know what he does. He may be a wonderful Jewish man. If he is, of course, and he believes in the Jewish religion, well, you have to be filthy if you know the Jewish religion. Now, he may not know the Jewish religion. He may be like dumb Christians. Many of them just go to their pulpit on Sunday morning, and they know nothing about what Jesus has told us, what the Bible says that we should live like. They're just going to church because they should go to church. Now, a lot of Jews do that too. Probably Friedman does that. I don't know. All I know is that by making this ruling and throwing out the opinion of and the belief systems of hundreds of thousands of Michigan citizens, he did them a grievous wrong. Now, Tex, that's not fair. He was put there as a federal judge to decide what the law is. Yes, and what he said was that since 1787, all the other judges and all the other the citizens of Michigan have been screwed up. They've all been messed up. Suddenly, he's going to correct the whole state. But it's not just Michigan. It's state after state after state that's falling for this silly mess. Now, let me clarify it. I don't want you to go harass, to hurt, to damage, to mess with, whatever you want to call it, these stupid judges. And if Mr. Friedman wants to call me up for thinking he's stupid, that's okay then, I suppose. If I have to go to prison for saying a federal judge is stupid, then I'll go. But I'm certainly not going to say the guy's wise or made a good decision, would you folks? I just got a letter from a friend of the ministry that told me about this dumb judge. That's what he is. He's a dumb judge. He's a dumb dog. On the front page of the Detroit Free Press, this friend of the ministry told me, is a photograph of Judge Friedman grinning broadly. Pictured there with him is another smiling Jewish judge, U.S. District Judge Judith Levi. Now, my friend says that Judge Levi is another powerful and influential employee of our corrupt and perverted federal government. Why are they corrupt and perverted? Because, let me tell you, Judge Levi is an avowed lesbian, and her tall, big, black, mannish, butch partner, JJ is his name, I guess, or her name, or whatever, is included in the photograph. To me, that makes her corrupt and perverted. So, Judge Levi, if you want to rule against Tex Mars and have me hauled into your court for calling you corrupt and perverted, then do it. Judge Levi, I'm told, is an avowed lesbian and has a tall, big, black, mannish, butch partner with her in this photograph. And Judge Levi and Judge Friedman know so much more than you and I about marriage, don't they? These are two idiots. I think it's still legal in America to correctly label federal judges as idiots. I say again, don't harm them. Don't even smile at them. Don't be around them. Why would you want to even be with these? Anyway. I have a good friend down in West Virginia, Way, that told everybody, write to this judge and tell him you disagree. Next thing you know, my friend is hauled in, and he was tried in a federal court and found innocent of threatening the life of a federal judge. As I understand it, all he did was say, write to this judge and tell him you disagree with him. If that's all he did, and they think that that's going to harm that judge. Judges just think that they have, you know, they can do whatever they want to, and that we're going to just love it. We're going to smile and say, oh, they're so wise. They're so all-knowing. No, they're not. They're a bunch of stupid. But do not, I repeat, harm them. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to look at what makes up a nation. Is America really a nation anymore? We've had so many changes. What are the things that weaken a nation and take away that title entirely from it? And by the same token, what are the glues that hold together a nation? We'll discuss all that when we return. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Well, folks, we've got a new book out now. We published it here at Rivercrest Publishing. That's the name of our publishing house. It's a book that, well, it's going to shock you because it's truth. It's called The Matrix of Gog by Daniel Petrick. The Matrix of Gog, G-O-G. You know, the Jews are not Jews. We found that out. DNA, science. We've discovered that those who say they're Jews are not. The Bible talks about them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's what the Jews are today. Like these two judges I told you about, they're the synagogue of Satan. And very few Jews escape this title. Most of them are very deserving of it. Now, DNA research finds that Jews actually are not the seed of Abraham. They have no relation. They've never even, you know, laid a toe or a finger in Israel. And they actually come from a country called Khazaria that doesn't even exist anymore. And if they got their DNA assayed, they would find out they don't have any relatives in Israel, nor can they trace their inheritance all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They call themselves Jews, but then, you know, there are a lot of people that say there are things that are not. Why, Madonna says she's Jewish because she wears her little red wristband and goes and studies the Kabbalah under a Jewish, you know, witch. That's what I call them. Britney Spears does the same thing, and Bill Clinton does the same thing. They all wear their red wristbands. And in fact, Senator Harry Reid, you know, the dictatorial senator from Nevada, he wears one too. He's a Jewish supremacist who's a Mormon. Oh, yes, the Mormons are thick with a Jewish religion. They're all in it together, folks, let me tell you. The devil knows their first names, I'm sure. Every one of them. This book, Matrix of Gog, talks about Gog from the land of Magog, who God says, God, G-O-D, says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, will bring great catastrophe and chaos and war to the whole world. Gog, Revelation 20 says, will come upon the breadth of the whole earth and will go up against the camp of the saints. That's where Gog has his downfall. Who is Gog? He's the leader of the Jews, the so-called Jews. He's the leader of the Khazars. And it's Khazaria that in 1948 conquered Israel. Well, it was Palestine at the time. The land of unwalled villages, it went up on that, and they're still conquering today. They've turned their own, their territory, they had no relationship, no kin, no bloodline to. They were Turks and Mongols. That's what they are. That's what the DNA shows. The Jews are Turks and Mongols. But they converted to Judaism. If you convert, then you can say, I'm a Jew. Sammy Davis Jr. said it. You know, the black entertainer and singer? He converted, and he said, I'm a Jew. Now, while he was busy being a Jew, Sammy Davis Jr. also went down and joined the Church of Satan, headed by the high priest, Anton Zander LaVey, a Jew. No, a Khazar, actually. If you don't believe me, go get the book, The Autobiography, at your library by Sammy Davis Jr., entitled, get this, Yes, I Can. I've heard that same statement recently by another black man, half white, named Barack Obama. Yes, I can. That was the title of the autobiography of Sammy Davis Jr. Yes, I can be a Jew. Yes, I can be a Satanist. And Marilyn Monroe converted. Now, if you think that Sammy Davis Jr. and Marilyn Monroe were the seed of Abraham, I've got some swamp land in East Texas to sell to you. You must have this book, Matrix of Gog. Why Matrix? Because, folks, we're all caught up in this. It's an incredible matrix. You know, I'm sitting in my office now. I'm looking out. I have this radio gear set up, and I look out the windows. It's beautiful out. But I've got these Venetian blinds. You know what Venetian blinds are like? And it gives you, it's like a, you know, you can see clear, but you know there's a thousand obstacles between you and the outside. You know, all the little blinds going across, cross, cross, cross. It's like a matrix in front of me. The bees, of course, the honeybees, their eyes are made up like a matrix. Thousands of units. How they all coordinate together is a miracle of God. How all of those units in the matrix that make up the bee's eyes coordinate and work together is quite incredible. Satan has his matrix, and Gog, who is Satan's representative on earth, has them too. People ask, what is going to be the name of the Antichrist? I don't know what his name is on earth. I know he has a number 666, but I'll tell you one thing. He will be known in heaven and hell as Gog, because that's what the Bible calls him. And if you want to know who Gog is from the land of Magog, it's not on your map, folks. It used to be, though. Arthur Koestler, in his excellent book, The 13th Tribe, says that it was Khazaria that was called Magog. And the leader, the king there, was called Gog. Well, where are those people today? They're in Israel, and they're around the world. There's some 18 million of them. And they control America. It's why we no longer have a country. We have a place. But we don't have a country. As Paul Roberts said, we're not a democracy. We don't have freedom. That's absurd to say that. Now, folks, I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force in a blue uniform. I think about 10 or 12 years was during the Vietnam War era. I was patriotic. After all, I was born a United States citizen. There's no country as good as America, or what America used to be. But it's changing now, isn't it? It's going to change some more because of Gog. Because we've got into bed with Gog. Matrix of Gog. $18. $5 shipping and handling. A total of $23. How do you get this book, Matrix of Gog by Daniel Patrick? Well, you could go to Amazon.com. It's at Amazon.com. But I hope you'll buy it from the ministry. I hope you'll order it from us and get our newsletter every month in the mail. Power of Prophecy. Now, here's how to get it. Just go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Order it again, $18 plus $5 shipping and handling, and we'll send it right out to you, $23 total. We've got enough printed. If we don't, we'll go print some more. We'll keep printing it. We'll never run out, I don't think. Now, you can also write to us. We've been in the same location. I don't know, Jerry, how many years? 15 or 18 or 20, something like that. Here at 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Just the staff here and two cats. I think they're in charge, don't you, Jerry? They tell us what to do, and they've been sort of sick lately, both of them. One of them jumped off something and hurt his leg. He's limping around. The other cat, boy, we thought she was going to die, Prissy. Had to take her to a vet and, you know, charge us all kind of money, but saved her life. She could not even move. She was just there. And they gave her antibiotics and things and brought her back. She's with us now. She's an old cat, though. Bless her little heart. Now, folks, if you don't like cats, you probably won't like Texmars either. If you don't like cats and dogs, I personally like them. I really do. I know they don't have any real value. I mean, I've never known a cat save anybody's life, for example, Although they I'm sure they've done that on occasion. I was talking to my good friend Michael Collins Piper. He's got a cat named Donald. Donald. Now, Michael Collins Piper doesn't have a wife, but he's got that cat. And Michael Collins Piper, you know, had a heart attack. And they had a heart operation and everything. He told me, Jerry, by the way, he's getting out today. He called me today and he said, I'm getting out. He's, you know, let the chains out. He's Michael Collins Piper, of course, is the author of many fine books. And but he says, I'm excited about going home and seeing Donald. You know, I would be too. You know, every day I go home, I have two little dogs. They jump up and down and they, you know, and they run up and down the hallway and they're just glad to see me. Now, Wanda claims they only want, they're glad to see me because I'm going to give them food. Now, that might be, but, you know, I fake it, right? I pretend it's there. They want to see me because they're very excited to see me. But it might be they just know I'm going to go over to the kitchen, get them some dog food. You know, that may be. Maybe they don't want to see me at all. It's that dog food they know it's coming, huh? Oh, well. Dogs and cats. The Matrix of Gog. Here's how to call us during the week and order that book. Just call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. By the way, a lady wrote to me last week, she wanted to know the name of my dogs and cats. Well, we have Prissy as one of the cats here. And then we have Ziggy, a male cat that's here, but that's the newest addition, the one that hurt its leg when it jumped down. And then home, I've got two little, they're actually rat terriers. That's their breed, rat terrier. And one of them's a small little rat terrier, and one's a little bit bigger. Little rat terriers, they're a lot of fun. And one of them's name is Maggie. Now, they were named, we got them, they're like rescue dogs. You know, somebody rescued them, and, you know, and we go to the orphan's home. That's where we get our, that's what we call it, the orphan's home. We get our doggies that have been rescued, and we help continue the rescue. They were 9 years old when we got these two little dogs. One is named Maggie, and the other's name is Princess. Now, folks, I did not, you masculine guys, I did not name my dogs Maggie and Princess. But that's what they were named in the paperwork. We went along with it. Wanda doesn't mind. I'm a little embarrassed sometime introducing my dogs as Maggie and Princess and Prissy and Ziggy, but that's okay. They're a lot of fun. Again, let me remind you of that phone number, 1-800-234-9673. And a very friendly receptionist. I know all the receptionists here, they're all friendly. They're all very nice. And they like their job. They enjoy talking with you, folks. You know, they're not like some gravelly. They really enjoy talking with you. And they, you know, you're a real person to them. And that's the way I feel about it. We're all part of the same team. We're sort of the same ministry. And I work for you and God. That's what I call it. I just work for you folks and God. I really do. And I guess I do work for these two cats too, because we do feed them. But anyway. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. All right. Now, we're talking about the destabilization of America. Why are we talking about that? Because America, folks, has become a crummy place. And it's going to get worse. And thank God we have some vestiges of freedom left, but they're disappearing fast. I don't know how long they'll be here. Now, what would unite us as a nation? What did unite us as, I believe, the greatest nation on earth? And we did have more freedoms. And the question is, what unites? What is the glue that keeps a nation indivisible? And, you know, together as a whole, well, there are a number of things. There are symbols, history, people, borders, religion, constitution, language, laws, race, the government, morals, literature, currency, education. These are the things that unite a nation. And if you don't have them, you're going to be a weak nation. And as you leave them, as they leave you, let's just say, as you have less and less of these things, or each one is less powerful. In other words, the glue has lost its ability to stick two materials together, so to speak. Then the nation will fly apart. Now, I'm going to talk about each one of these things, and I want you to consider the nations that you know, like Ukraine, that are breaking up right now. All these nations that have been destabilized. What's destabilized them? What makes them less of a nation? Some nations on earth have broken up into 3, 4, 5, 6 parts. I remember Joe Biden, when we went into Iraq, he says, we need to break it up into 3 or 4 countries. Sure. Weaken it. Break it up. And this is what people want to do. Now, I want you to understand that in the protocols of Zion, they state, quote, we will undermine every collective identity except our own. Now, that's the Jews, the Khazars, talking. We will undermine every collective identity except our own. What is a collective identity? That refers to race, to religion, to God, nation, family. Destroy the family, destroy religion, break up the race by, you know, bringing in all kinds of peoples. Break up the culture. All the things that hold a nation together, break those up, dissolve those things, and the nation flies apart. It doesn't just dissolve, it flies apart. For example, symbols. We had symbols. They're still there. They're not respected much anymore. The flag of the United States. There's a symbol for you. When you see the flag, you know it stands for something. It means something. The symbol of our nation. Now, every military unit knows that they need an insignia or a seal or a symbol of some kind. It brings them together. It glues them together. Now, there are other kind of symbols. There's the presidency. There's the White House. There's Congress. There's the U.S. Capitol building. Every state, for example, has a capital building and a capital city. That's a symbol. The great seal of the United States, you know, the eagle, that's a symbol. And symbols mean things. They're very important. That's why it bothered me tremendously when about 30 years ago, people began not to respect these symbols. The liberals began to step on flags. Burn the flag at demonstrations. Spit on the flag. They were destroying the symbol of our country. Then there's history. History brings a nation together, shared history. Ask a young man today to name three of the first 5 presidents. I bet you can't. I bet they can't do it. Ask a high schooler today. Ask him who George Washington is, Thomas Jefferson, Madison, all those great men, they won't know who that is. All these foreigners that have come into America from Pakistan, Bolivia, Nicaragua, China, Indonesia, ask them about the early Americans. Ask them when the American Revolution occurred. Ask them even when the Civil War occurred. They won't know anything about that. Ask him who the first president of the United States is. I doubt if but a few in a high school class will be able to tell you that it was George Washington. History, a shared history. I was with a bunch of young people recently, and I asked them those kinds of questions. I only got 3 or 4 out of about 30 people that could explain anything to me. Then I asked them, well, who's the vice president of the United States right now? Not one of 30 people could name the name of Joe Biden. I said, well, what was the last vice president? What was his name? They couldn't tell me. Name 5 presidents of in that, you know, we're what, number 47, I think, or something like that. But whatever it is, name 5 of America's presidents. Folks, name the greatest American president ever. Did you know that many of those youth said Bill Clinton? That's what they've been told by the media. Bill Clinton is a great president. Bill Clinton. Who is Jimmy Carter? Nobody. Who's Ronald Reagan? A couple of hands went up. A shared history. All these immigrants coming in want to be American citizens. Did you know they used to have a book and make them take a test? Now they sit down and ask them just a few questions. And usually if the Mexican immigrant can't answer the question, they say, oh, it's okay, we'll pass you anyway. That's right. They pass them anyway. They don't know history. Ask them when we won our independence. They say, oh, that was Cinco de Mayo Day. No, it's Mexico, buddy. You're in America now. Another factor that binds a nation together, the glue, is borders. We have borders. We can trust their borders. And you can't violate our borders. If you come in, you're going to be picked up and sent back. We used to have those kind of borders, but we don't anymore. The very few that are picked up, they're let go, and then they never come back. You know, they never show up for their court dates. They know they're home free. They're here forever. They can go down and get driver's license. They can get jobs. They can get on Medicaid, get free medical insurance. Borders. And there's really no deportation, is there? I mean, all of the deportation, the judges, why don't they just step down and take a break, take a siesta? That would be appropriate, wouldn't it? There's religion. Religion can hold a nation together. If you're of the same religion, or at least you respect your other religions. We were a Christian nation. And it was appropriate for people to say, we're a Christian nation. Now, if you say that, the Jews hit you on the head with a lead pipe saying, we're not a Christian nation. Oh, okay, that's fine then. And we've got all these foreigners in that are bringing Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. They don't respect Christianity. They don't even know anything about it. We don't have a unified religion anymore. Then there's the Constitution. How many of all of these immigrants, and there's some 40 million, I don't care, the government's been saying it's 11 or 12 million for 20 years. They're liars. The Constitution. What is the Constitution? Ask a young high schooler, a college student, what is the Constitution? Oh, it tells us what we're to do as a nation. Really? What does it say that, what will our government be made of?
Well, I don't know.
What is the Bill of Rights? You know, the first 10 amendments. And by the way, here's a question I bet even you can't answer, folks. Why did we need 10 amendments to the Constitution? Wasn't the Constitution okay from the very beginning? Why did we need 10 amendments to it? They voted in a Constitution and they immediately went in and gave us 10 amendments. Why did they need to amend it? Wasn't it perfect from the beginning?
Think about that one.
Laws. We have laws, don't we? Well, not according to the Attorney General of the United States. He says if you see a law you don't like, just don't pay any attention to it. He told state attorneys general that. The chief lawman for each of the 50 states, he said, if there's laws out there you don't think they're good laws, don't obey them. Don't enforce them. And the problem is we've got a blizzard of laws. Thousands, thousands of laws. And every year our legislatures make more and more laws. We can't keep track of them. Anybody at any time can be convicted for failing one of these laws. I mean, they say, it's a common saying, that a federal grand jury could indict a ham sandwich for doing something wrong. Indict a ham sandwich for doing something wrong. That's how many laws there are. Race, usually made up of one or two or races that at least appreciate each other. Now, we're in a race war, aren't we? I mean, blacks don't, there's no respect there. They're killing, they're mobbing us, they're, get the book that we offer called White Girl Bleed a Lot. It'll tell you about what the blacks are doing to America. It's terrible. We would like to have every race, every person appreciated because of their character. But look at rap music. Come on. Look at what's going on in the black ghettos. They're living in another continent as far as I'm concerned. morals. The country must have some kind of a moral system, but we're corrupt, we're perverted. You turn on television and every word out of their mouths is filth. The word F-U-C-K is everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Literature, movies, sort of seal a nation together, don't they? They bring a nation together. Not our movies. They show you that America is a country to be hated and that we don't get along. And we're not a nation of laws. There's education. Folks, if you're an elitist, you can go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton or one of the fancy schools. And if you're Jewish, if you got money and you're a Jew, you can go there. You don't have to be brilliant. I mean, George W. Bush went to Yale University, and so did John Kerry, and they're two dolts. You know they are. I know they are. How could they graduate from Yale University? Well, they were members of the Skull and Bones Society. Of course, they're elitist, rich dynasties. Now, George Will, Fox News commentator, says we need an insurrection in America. We need an insurrection. Supreme Court Judge Scalia says we need a tax revolution. People ought to revolt about the taxes are so much. Well, revolution, insurrection. Hundreds of thousands of people are now saying we need to secede. Not because of slavery, just to get a little bit of freedom, to get the country off our backs. Well, we can vote them out of office. Vote them out of office next time. Come on, folks. Voting is a failure. Let's face it. Voting is a failure. They give you whoever they want to, and you vote for A or B, but you find out that A and B are the same party. There's only one party, and it favors war and money. War and money. That's our party in America. And you don't get to pick the winners. You don't get to pick your governor, your city council, your president. No, you really don't. No. Don't tell me you did. Don't tell me. They put up two clowns, and you had to vote for one of them. Al Gore and George W. Bush, is that the best that a country of 315 million can put up? Are you kidding me? They have destabilized America. It's been a planned project for many years now. The glue that keeps this nation together has lost its power. We're flying apart. Yes, there will be a revolution. Yes, there will be an insurrection. States will secede. There's going to probably be bloodshed. I pray not. I don't want it. But if we can't return to these things, symbols, shared history, borders, religion, the Constitution, even the language, we don't have the same language anymore. And if you speak English, that's not good enough. You got to speak Spanish or whatever. And taxes, I didn't even get to that. That's a sham, folks. Our whole tax system is an absolute sham. Pray for America, but pray for your family. Pray for yourself first, that we as Christians can be one. Let's start from that great beginning. As Christians, let's be one with Jesus Christ. Let's be one, and let's see where that will take America. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been great being with you today. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.